Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. I'm going to start this by playing a clip for all of you that needs to be seen of Joe Biden, because the idea that anyone would consider voting for him is shocking at this point. Doesn't matter what Trump is, does, or otherwise. Joe Biden's brain does not work. He is clearly in deep decline. He is facing severe dementia and senility. I'm not a doctor, but I take a look at this guy and I cannot believe polls show that people would consider voting for him. Here's the video. Let me make sure we have the sound properly, and I will see if we can get it big enough. And I'm going to play. Here you go. Here's the clip.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just... Look what we did recently when Israel was attacked. And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't get this. This country is falling apart. That's just it. Look at Joe Biden. I'm playing this video. Look at his eyes. Look at his hands. He's struggling to keep his eyes open. He can't talk. And he says, I warned Israel not to attack Israel. This is a guy who misspoke, and I believe it was a UN meeting, referring to Syria as Libya. What happens when this guy is in the Situation Room and he says, we gotta send troops into Haifa? And sir, that's in Israel. You heard what I said. And they do. It's laughably absurd. Here you go.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not.
Look at his eyes. He can't keep his eyes open. He can't talk. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The New York Post says Biden confuses Israeli city with Rafah in Gaza in shocking gaffe. Don't move on Haifa. And I don't even care all that much about misspeaking. That's not even it. Trump misspoke. Obama, Clinton, Bush, every president has a gaffe and they make fun of him for it. It is the 50th, 60th, 70th, 80th video where this man has no idea what's going on, can't see straight, can't keep his eyes open, and is standing there confused saying, what's going on? What? Wandering around on stage. It's insane. I don't get it. This country is doomed. Perhaps we are facing a test, my friends. Perhaps aliens have taken over the Earth and they said, let's see if humans are smart enough to actually rule themselves. And they give us Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And it's an IQ test. It is. If humans can pick the right guy, maybe they will be allowed to enter the Galactic Federation. I'm kidding, by the way. I don't think there's actually a Galactic Federation. I mean, it's possible we wouldn't know about it. I don't know. My point is, for all the things you might not like Trump over, if you really do look at the news and take a look at what's going on, the worst thing about Trump, he's kind of a nasty guy, I guess. He's gross. Is that it? You cannot elect a president who can't keep his eyes open, who can't see, who doesn't know the names of cities, and this happens over and over again. But maybe that's it. Maybe the real issue is the reason people are voting for Biden is because they're voting to burn the country to the ground. Several years ago, 4 years ago, I said Antifa has every reason to vote for Donald Trump. Yeah, I mean it. Why? Because the deep state, the uniparty establishment, won't let up the reins of control. And if Antifa really wants a shot at changing this country or upending it, wouldn't Trump be the guy? Isn't Trump the one? They voted for Joe Biden. Perhaps I was naive. Perhaps they saw what I did not, that Joe Biden's brain doesn't work at all. And that Donald Trump, at the very least, his brain does. You may question it. Fine. You may call him a lewd, lascivious liar. Yeah, probably fine. But his brain works. And you have two principal parties right now. But it's an IQ test, I guess. The people who would vote for Joe Biden in this state right now, and they're saying they will, they don't know anything about Trump. They don't know what's actually going on in the news. They don't get it. That's what worries me. The New York Post says President Biden on Tuesday confused the Israeli port city of Haifa with the last refuge for civilians in Gaza, Rafah, in a stunning blunder. The 81-year-old president made the gaffe when asked in a one-on-one interview with Nexstar's media Rashad Hudson about his plan to win back pro-Palestinian voters. I've been meeting with them, number one. Number two, I made it clear that we have to vastly increase the amount of food, water, healthcare going into Gaza. I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. Yeah, he meant Rafah. Unless he didn't. And he really wanted to bomb Libya. And he really wants to purge Israelis from Haifa. Because he wants to let Palestinians in, maybe? I don't know. I don't get it, man. Let me show you some data. We have this from Interactive Polls. 538 average net approval ratings at this time in office and on election day. Eisenhower was up 56 points in approval. It's amazing. Nixon was up 20. Reagan was up 17. Clinton was up 14. Obama was up 1. George W. Bush was up 2.1. Carter was down 7. Truman was down 7. Trump was down 8.5. H.W. Bush was down 12.2. Biden takes the record. Biden's net approval rating is minus 17 at this time in his presidency. On election day, Eisenhower was 48, Nixon 32, Reagan 24. These are positive, positive. Overwhelmingly, the country loved Eisenhower. Truman was down about 6, Trump 8.1, Carter 16.9, and H.W. Bush 22.9. If this trend holds, it is impossible for Joe Biden to win. But let me just stress to all of you, for the first time in forever, I guess, the person who won all the bellwether counties lost the presidency. Take it for what it is. I don't think this game is going to be as simple as people hope it is or think it will be. Now we can take a look at this from Josh Krishar. This is interesting. New Harvard IOP poll of registered Gen Z voters 18 to 29. Biden 50, Trump 37. Biden lead among young white voters is 3 points. Among young non-white voters is 43 points. Biden's lead among young women is 33 points. His lead among young men is 6 points. Interesting. Full ballot test. Biden's at 34, Trump 27, Kennedy 10, Stein 5, West 4, and don't know 22. Interesting. It's a much closer race when you include these other groups. The important thing to recognize, someone posted it, 18 to 29 year olds are also the least likely among voters to actually vote. Yep. They overwhelmingly do not. Now, Trump getting 37% of Gen Z. I'll tell you what I think. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump wins Gen Z. I won't be surprised. I'm not saying I think he will. If it ended up happening, I'd be like, oh, would you look at that? I do believe Trump will perform well with Gen Z relative to past presidents. I think a lot of people on the right say things like, look at these polling trends. Black voters, they're going to vote for Trump, and they don't. Right now, Trump is doing really well with the black vote, something like 23%, I think some polls have him at. But don't be surprised if come election day, just doesn't happen. Same thing with Gen Z. Now, the reason why I wouldn't be surprised, and I think this time around, there is a chance, again, we don't know, but I think the people who are Gen Z and say they're voting for Biden have no idea what they're talking about. And they're just like, yeah, Biden, I guess, but they won't vote. People who say they're voting for Trump, they're voting for Trump. I imagine that these Gen Z voters who say Trump are more likely to vote than the Biden voters who say they're voting for Biden. Than the Gen Z people say they're voting for Biden. What I mean is, anybody who says they're voting for Biden, especially after that Israel gaffe, I mean, you look at the man's dead eyes. His dead eyes. I'm sorry. This is a guy who probably can't control his bowel movements anymore. Probably is only awake for an hour a day. And you know what? I feel bad for the old man. I'm not trying to rag on him. It happens to everybody. But the idea that they would prop him up and claim that he's going to be the president is insane. The Democrats could have had RFK Jr. They could have had anyone else. They could have had Gavin Newsom. I will stand corrected because I thought Biden would be out based on seeing how decrepit and incapable of thought the man was. I don't know. I don't know what the big news is this morning. I just saw that video and I'm flabbergasted. Flabbergasted. Are you kidding me? The guy's eyes are barely open. He's like, what? Israel, don't go to Israel. It's amazing. People would vote for him. Now, I'll stress this again. Not just for Gen Z, but for everybody. I bet the people who say they're voting for Trump mean it a lot more than the people who say they're voting for Biden. When Donald Trump was president, the enthusiasm against him was massive. So when it came to Election Day, people did vote. Now, granted, I think ballot harvesting is what brought it in for Democrats. I think on the merits, Trump would have won. So it's a game about collecting pieces of paper with names on it, not winning the argument. Today, Joe Biden is the president. I can't imagine most people who are saying they're voting for Biden are going to be motivated to get up and go vote for Biden. At this point, things are so bad. They're so bad. I just feel like most people are going to wash their hands and walk away. Trump's base will march in and they will vote in force. But we'll see. We'll see. I was dead wrong about DJT stock. The Krasensteins were saying, does anyone really think Trump Truth Social is worth these billions of dollars? Well, of course not. But people were still buying the stock. Now, I agreed with them. No investor is going to buy chunks of DJT. The people buying it must be supporters of Trump who want to own a piece of this company. I bought, I think I have 13 shares or so. I don't know. It's fractions. So I think it's about 13. Mostly because that was what I got through like some dividends or something. And then I was just like, it's like a souvenir. I don't expect to make a lot of money off it. And then it tanked. I was surprised. This means that people actually invested legitimately in DJT. Now, also to be fair, as the left hoots and hollers and bangs around screaming that DJT is collapsing, the market itself took a big hit. That doesn't account for all of the losses of DJT, but it did go down. That surprised me because I thought a lot of people would just buy them because they want to have them. That's it. It was a way to actually fund Trump. Another thing I thought, too, is I really agreed with the Krasensteins on this one, that foreign influence could buy shares in DJT, Trump's Truth Social stock, inflating his net worth and giving him access to cash. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's bad. Foreign governments effectively supporting a politician through publicly traded stock is crazy. All of that was wrong. All of it was wrong. They were actual investors in the United States who were trying to make money off Trump, and then they sold. Wow. And then it went down. Well, mark me surprised. Now in this, you'll notice something interesting. Among women, 33-point lead. Among men, 6 points. Why is that? So we have this image. Dr. Pepper Texan says, how is this possible? Among women voters, the New York Times, Siena College, Joe Biden has 53 to Donald Trump's 37. Yeah. You know, I got to be honest. I think women hate women. I think women hate women. And I don't think like all women hate women. I think generally speaking, women hate other women. Obviously, human beings can be friends, and there are women who are friends with women, of course. What I'm saying is, when it comes to voting, I really do think women don't like other women. I think you just look at the voting patterns, and it seems like there is a voting pattern towards women begging men to take over while publicly saying otherwise. And I'm not saying it's a good thing or I support it. I'm saying they're doing it. Take a look at this. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoes bill that would have codified biological sex, not gender, into law. Why? Why is it that women overwhelmingly vote for males to be in women's bathrooms and to be in women's sports teams, and men overwhelmingly vote against it? Honest question. I don't know. But I do think this is evidence, circumstantial, that contributes to the idea that women don't like women. I am not saying literally everyone everywhere. I'm saying that to a certain degree, women don't like women. Or perhaps a better way to put it is women want men in charge. Women want men in their spaces. Women want males to be around them. Women want males to tell them what to do. It is women voting for policies that leads to a male being listed as woman of the year. Men don't do that. It's funny because on Timcast IRL, it's the female guests who want to repeal the 19th Amendment, women's right to vote. And the guys are like, nah, you know, we think it's fine. Like women should vote. And then the women are going, nope, nope. I'm like, okay, maybe women don't like women. Maybe women want men to be in charge. And that's why Katie Hobbs says, no, no, we're not doing this. Why? Codifying biological sex would create work and privacy protections for females. She doesn't want that. These women, these females, want males to be in their space. That's it. I find it fascinating. Look, it was this way throughout human history. The men were in charge, and women are overwhelmingly voting for it. Women don't want women's sports. They overwhelmingly vote for males to dominate their sporting brackets. I think at a certain point, you have to recognize people are voting for what they want. Now, Ali Beth Stuckey has a different view. She wrote a long post about it. Someone said, how is this possible that women are voting for Biden? Ali Beth says, a few reasons, I think. They all kind of go together. Women are both victims and perpetuators of what I call toxic empathy. They feel for the perceived victim and enjoy the applause they get for standing up for them. This applies to all kinds of issues: social justice, police brutality, LGBTQ, economics, abortion, immigration, guns. Happen to be writing a book about this. They have zero incentive to think beyond the headlines that tell them black people are being gunned down by police and women are unable to get miscarriage care. They have learned these are the only acceptable empathetic positions, and their entire social network agrees. The biggest influencers for women are people like Glennon Doyle, Brené Brown, and others in the self-empowerment field. They are liberal and make progressivism look liberating, fashionable, educated, and sophisticated. They convincingly conflate progressivism with being a healthy, stable, loving person. They are terrified of being seen as a Karen, which is an insecure, unsophisticated woman who hasn't yet taken the journey to rid herself of her biases and paranoia. They don't like Trump's persona. It's not that they're just offended by it. They're embarrassed. I actually think they do like Trump. I think there are a lot of women who are not disgusted by Trump. They're scared to admit they like Trump. It is a Mexican standoff that you have the secret Trump voter. I believe there are a lot of women who want Trump to walk in, push people around, and take over. But it would make you look unsophisticated. It would make you look gross. And so that's the bigger issue. Some of the rhetoric on the right that's increased in popularity, calling women whores, blaming them for all the world's problems, elevating pimps like Andrew Tate, just confirm the caricatures they see of the right, that they really do hate women and want to trample on their rights. No need to argue with the women I just described in the replies. You and I know all the retorts and probably and I probably agree with you completely. But let's be honest. We have a lot of freaks on the right that make it really hard for even curious women to take a look at our stances. I'm doing my best to be louder than those weirdos. Andrew Tate came up. It's interesting. Young men like Andrew Tate. They like Joe Rogan. They like Jordan Peterson. And these are all fairly different guys personality wise, but they do have a lot in common about, you know, you got to be tough. You got to be strong. You got to work hard. You have to train. I think the issue is social media, the rule base and the manipulation, it pushes women, social beings, into a box where they're afraid to speak out. That's it. It's quite simple. Why do we see high rates of suicidality and depression among young girls from social media? Because women are and girls are more susceptible to social pressures than men are. The reason why men are shifting towards Trump is because it's empowering. They want to be empowered. Men want to run the show. They want to lead. They want to take charge. So when you look at Andrew Tate and Jordan Peterson, and to a certain extent, Joe Rogan, these are people with a message. And less so Rogan. I know Rogan's not like a guru like, you know, Jordan Peterson, like a self-empowerment guy, but he is still a guy who talks about working out, getting fit, taking care of your health. These are things that tell men, be strong. Guys want to be strong. Guys want to lead. Guys want to provide. Women want to fit in. So on social media, the policies, I mean, I'll give you a really great example. Take a look at when I like Shoe on Head, but when she denounced Lauren Southern, it's just like the most, I'm sorry, that was sad. And you know, guys do this kind of stuff too, sure. Chris Raygun, if you're familiar with him, deleted his Punch a Nazi video, which was so ridiculous because it was a satire of Paparazzi by Lady Gaga making fun of the left for wanting to be violent. But you tend to see it a lot with women desperately trying to fit in, and men care less. I'm not saying men don't care, and I'm not saying women only care. I'm saying it is tendencies for obvious reasons. Women are social and subjective, and men are objective. And I mean object oriented, not like neutral. Males tend to be object and goal oriented. Women tend to be human and subject oriented. Tendencies we see time and time again. Any adult who's watched anything about humans or knows any humans knows this is true. But I mean, you can actually look at the data. Women are more susceptible to social pressures. Young girls developed Tourette syndrome from watching TikTok videos. Young women get more depressed when they don't get enough likes or shares. Men are less affected by this. So what happens? A guy sees a Donald Trump and Trump's like, we're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, I want to be strong too. I want to be the boss. And women say, I don't want to be shunned. I want to fit in. And there you go. There's your divide. So when women are asked, they're like, the socially acceptable thing to do is to say Trump. I mean, and look at this, the data on agreeableness. Women tend to be more agreeable. So if the popular narrative on social media is Trump is bad, and if you support Trump, we ban you, then women are going to say, look, I'll put it this way. If young girls get depressed when they don't get enough Instagram likes, what do you think happens when Instagram looks at the woman and says, we will ban your account outright if you support Trump? Not every single woman is susceptible to this. Some are principled and strong. Some are Ally Beth Stuckey. But many women are just like, it would kill me if I was no longer on Instagram and TikTok. That's the social pressure and social manipulation. It will burn this country to the ground. I don't know what else to tell you. I certainly don't agree with people who say repeal the 19th. It seems a bit extreme. But I do believe there must be civic duty tied to the voting privilege. I think in a conversation with Vivek Ramaswamy, the simple solution that we came up with, once you sign up for the Selective Service, you get your voter card. That's it. You don't have to be drafted. You don't have to enlist. You don't have to serve. You don't got to do anything except for sign up for the Selective Service. Women can choose not to, because I'll tell you what's going to happen. I think this solves all of our problems. Low information voters are not going to enlist in order to vote. I shouldn't say enlist. They're not going to sign up for Selective Service. And this would make it so that If you're a guy, you no longer have to sign up. Nope. When you're 18, it's your choice, but you can't vote unless you do. You have to swear that you would stand up and defend this country in its time of need. Then you get to vote. That's it. You don't got to own property. You don't got to have a job. You don't got to pay taxes. None of that. You know, think about it. Ballot harvesting would be over. Done. Democrats would go and be like, can we register you to vote? And they'd be like, sign me up for the draft? No way. I don't care. Let whoever wants to be president, be president. But when there's zero barrier, no responsibilities, no requirements, what ends up happening is some dude smoking pot at a rock show is sitting there being like, ugh. And then someone walks up and says, hey, do you want to register? He's like, sure, I guess. And then when the universal mail-in vote ballot jumps to his house, he's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess Joe Biden, whatever, man. And that's how you lose. That's how your country is ripped to shreds. Now, let's be real. I do not see an off-ramp or a path forward. I don't see the possibility of passing legislation. All I see is these trends continue and the country burns down. That doesn't mean we die or America ceases to be. It means what was built will fall. There will be a darkness period, a great turning, a fourth turning, I should say. And then we rebuild. We'll figure it out. Maybe at that point, we need to recognize civic duty must be tied to voting. You must swear that you will take responsibility for your country. Not even asking a lot. Used to be to be a property owner. Why? To prove that you live there. And they said, well, not everybody owns property, but some people have lived here for generations. You know, well, they should be allowed to vote. They live here. Now someone can move from Chicago to Georgia, say, I live here now. I'm voting. Then leave. How does that make sense? There should be wait periods and you should have to sign up for selective service if you want to vote. I mean it. And a lot of libertarians are going to be like, no, that's ridiculous. That you know, but I don't care. I'm not saying I agree with the draft. And I'm not saying there would ever be a draft. I'm just saying every guy signs up for selective service. Every guy at 18. Okay. Well, we want equality. So women have to do it as well. But we just make it simple. You can't vote unless you do. It's just that simple. Democrats would never let that happen. If the Republicans sweep the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, one of the most important things they can do is reform voting and say, I mean, this would end the destruction of this country overnight. They would just pass a bill saying, upon turning 18, when you sign up for selective service, you get your voter card, which is required for voting, period. Now, to be fair, the argument is that the states hold their own elections to decide who the president will be, and the federal government can't supersede how the states handle their elections. So you'd have to do it at the state level. But if any red state that's leaning blue wants to prevent manipulation and ballot harvesting so that low information voters vote for crackpot Democrats, enact this. And then your state will be Republican forever until Democrats fall in line, realign with what Americans actually care about, and then bring back competition. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see y'all then. A video appeared on YouTube. It was picked up by libs of TikTok. Students were protesting at a school in Utah over furries, people who dress up like cartoon animals in their school. And perhaps furry isn't the right word. Some have said, no, there's actually a furry in this article saying, you're talking about Therians. Therians are people who think they're actually animals. Furries are just wearing costumes. Okay. In this video, the students say there are litter boxes in the bathrooms. I don't know that there are actually litter boxes in the bathrooms, but at this point, I've personally been told this has happened by someone who is a firsthand witness. Not at schools, though. I'll explain that story. Joe Rogan said a friend told him that their kid's school did this. Now we have students, several dozen, saying this happened. I do not believe there is an organized conspiracy theory. It's possible there are rumors. I can only say that for myself. But when you have all these kids outside of the school saying, they did this, am I supposed to believe that these children organized a protest and agreed amongst themselves, conspired, as it were, to fabricate a claim about litter boxes and bathrooms? I think Occam's razor at this point just suggests schools have done this for people who identify as animals. And there's a difference between what we may be seeing with these students protesting furries and what furries actually are. And I will give respect to the furries in that regard. I'll clarify, too. The point being made here is that furries, they dress up like cartoon animals. And a lot of these people, some who are members of TimCast and some on Twitter, have said that for them and many of these people, it's like you can more easily socialize. You put on a persona. You are shielding yourself. What one person said was they're shy, they're embarrassed, they don't know how to socially interact. Putting on a full bodysuit basically protects them so they feel safe. They won't be embarrassed or shunned. And I'm like, that's actually pretty interesting. Now, Therians, as they describe in this article, are people who genuinely identify as animals. And maybe that's not true. I don't know, but there's a distinction. I do think it's fair to point out that the furry community ain't doing itself any favors. There are certainly a lot of people who do think they're cartoon animals and want to be cartoon animals, excuse me, and probably would take a dump in a litter box. So c'est la vie, I guess. This is where we're currently at. Students walk out of Utah middle school to protest furries. My, oh my. ABC4.com. Before we get started, I just want to say, if you want to support the work we're doing here, head over to timcast.com. Click join us, become a member so that you can hang out in our Discord server with like-minded individuals, share ideas, build a network. And TimCast.com members, how we fund the entire operation. So we do need your support. If you saw the story yesterday, YouTube deleted our two biggest shows and basically gave us a warning, which in essence says at any moment the show could be banned. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. If you want to make sure the show exists, TimCast.com, join us. ABC4.com reports several students and adults participated in an hours-long walkout from Utah's Mount Nebo Middle School on Wednesday. The reason for the protest? Furries. A petition was started online on Sunday with an initial target of 500 signatures, a number of signatures that was reached by Wednesday, prompting the goal to increase to 1,000 signatures. Well, let me do this. Let me pull up this clip from Libs of TikTok, where they say students walked out of Nebo School District in Utah to protest the school for allowing furries to terrorize other students. Students claim that the furries bite them, bark at them, and pounce on them without repercussion. However, if they defend themselves in any way, they get in trouble. Here is the short video. It is a bit hard to hear because it's a bunch of students yelling, but here's the clip.
So are they wearing a mask every day?
Yes!
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 But the principal finally stood up and banned those stuff.
But they still wear them every day, and they don't get in trouble. The principal doesn't get to make them get in trouble.
Yeah. All the principal says is just be kind, be nice, be nice.
And then,
what's the point of dressing up like a furry?
They think they're so cool that they want to get a lot of attention.
So people can come at them and just look at them and think that they're so cool.
Okay.
Also,
are you guys going to be in trouble for walking out of school today?
No, maybe. If we go back on school grounds, we will get in trouble.
Hopefully not. We're standing for
what we're standing
for. We're standing for what the furries are wrong.
This is wrong. They should not be doing this.
Do your parents know you guys are out here?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. They attack us.
If they bite us and we just kick them, we get in trouble.
They attack us.
They attack us and we get in trouble.
How else do they attack you guys?
They either bite us, they scratch us,
they
bark at us.
They pounce on us.
And then they run on all fours and pounce on people.
Why are they spraying you with Febreze?
Because apparently they're babies. And there's a rumor that they're putting litter boxes in the girls' bathroom.
Do you hear that? There it was. They're putting litter boxes in the girls' bathroom. I'm going to play that again for you.
And there's a rumor that they're putting litter boxes in the girls' bathroom. They're putting litter boxes. I heard that was just a rumor.
No, it's true.
Is this something you've seen?
Yeah, they're putting litter boxes in the bathroom.
Okay, I don't think several dozen students at a school all got together and had a meeting and say, now what's going to happen is we're going to fabricate a claim there's litter boxes and we're all going to agree we saw it. It may be, my friends, that they are lying. But Occam's razor, in the absence of evidence, the solution that makes the least amount of assumptions tends to be correct. I love Occam's razor, by the way. That is to say, we have circumstantial evidence right now. Several young witnesses saying they are putting litter boxes in girls' bathrooms. Okay. Next. The media tries to debunk this, claiming it's a wild rumor because the schools claim it's not happening. But we can hear now from the children who are upset that it is happening. They can deny it all they want, but at a certain point, we have to recognize either there is a grand conspiracy, which is ridiculous, of parents and students and commentators all across the country conspiring. They're coming together and saying, make sure you tell everyone that there are litter boxes. Or it's actually happening. I was at a hotel. Man, this was years ago. And a guy who was a fan, actually, told me that their hotel had similar requests. And I was like, get out of here. They're like, yeah, there was like a furry event and they requested litter boxes in the bathrooms. And I was just like, I didn't believe that's true. It didn't really mean anything. I'm like, really? I'm like, that seems crazy. Because like furries think they're cartoon animals or whatever. But there we are. Here's all the kids outright saying this stuff. They say the description for the petition says the administration of the school should more strictly enforce the dress code. Jewelry, accessories, tattoos, facial hair, and other elements of the student's appearance, blah, blah, blah. Now, here's the thing. Let's talk about this. I don't think the kids are protesting furries. Let me read. Furry is a fandom. A furry named Strudel told ABC4.com. We don't think that we're animals. According to WebMD, a furry is someone who has an interest in animals with human qualities and dress up like a cartoon animal. I really like the idea of animals who walk and talk, so I'm going to dress up as one as kind of a fun sort of cosplay thing. My understanding is, like I already stated, many of the people who have tried explaining furrydom to me on Twitter or otherwise say, you know, the general idea is you're shy, you're embarrassed, you don't know how to talk to people, you put on a mask and a costume, no one knows who you are, so if you screw up, they don't know who you are. That's it, I guess. And people like Bugs Bunny or something, which is different from the people who wear tails and ears and make weird noises. Strudel said there's a difference between furries and a group called Therians who believe on some level they are an animal. WebMD said people are often interested in becoming furries to find a sense of community, though some of the drawbacks they may face are negative stereotypes and social stigmas. Videos of the protest were shared on social media by Adam Bartholomew of Main Street Media Utah. Students who walk out express some of their grievances, even calling for expulsion and banning the furries. When Bartholomew asked if parents knew they were out protesting, the students answered with a resounding yes. Several students can be seen holding signs reading, "Compelled speech is not free speech." Another was holding a sign that said, "I will not comply. We just wanted to learn." Fair to point out, the parents helped them make those signs. The student said there are attacks from the furries every day, but we're unsure of how many furries there are actually at the school, shouting out numbers ranging from 5 to 100 who identify as such. The school's furry population is accused of biting, scratching, spraying air freshener on, barking at, and chasing other students. We're standing up for what we believe is right. A lot of the information that's been out there, put out there, is completely incorrect and inaccurate. Nebo School District Public Information Officer Seth Sorensen said. Well, Sorensen said there had been issues with harassment or students making others feel uncomfortable or unsafe. He said most of the claims online are false. The administration of the school addressed that with the entire student body, and they sent out a couple emails. Some of those emails were misinterpreted, and parents took online formats to voice some of their concerns. Sorensen said students are not dressing up as cats and dogs because there's a dress code in place. He doesn't think videos that have been shared online are from Nebo schools. Sorensen emphasized the main goal of the districts are to open communication and student safety. Now, right there, what you'd get from the left and the corporate press is someone coming out saying, see, this debunks it. There's no furries. And then you read on. Quote, today we had some students and parents choose to exercise their right to assemble and do a little protest for what they perceived as something that was happening at the school. It actually is not something that's been occurring. He said the reports of students dressing as animals are a little bit inaccurate, saying students are wearing headbands with ears. Saying students wearing headbands with ears are similar to wearing bows in sports jerseys. Sorensen said dressing up is just what students of this age do. The children don't understand this. The kids don't know what a furry is or someone wearing a fake tail or a headband. But these are people behaving like animals, attacking other students. And it is very clear from this that the leadership of the school is dismissive of this. And all of the students are saying there's litter boxes in the bathroom. Are they making that up? Interestingly enough, they didn't really address us with anything they want to change, Sorensen said. He encouraged concerned parties to come to the schools and speak with administrators. We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, blah, 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 blah. Utah in general is a pretty good nerd culture, while furry is still a bit fringe in that, we are generally pretty accepting, Strudel said. Strudel said kids had latched onto things really easily and can see how dressing up at school can be distracting. Strudel also said it may be best to keep the two separate. School is for learning, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes they stumble upon these communities and they're not old enough to really understand what it is or to be how to behave with it. Well, my friends, here's a story from NBC News. How an urban myth about litter boxes in schools became a GOP talking point. How is it a myth? I certainly believe this as well. When people kept saying it, I was just like, no. Like I mentioned, I was at a hotel and a guy mentioned that to me and I was like, no, get out of here. That where was I? This was in Los Angeles. This was in where was it? It was a long time ago. I was in LA, I think. And someone said they were a fan of the show or something like this. I don't believe it. I completely ignored it. I don't know. I don't really think much of it, I guess. And then we have Joe Rogan's show talking about it. It says a friend called him and told him this. Many Republicans saying it. And NBC News just said, nah, it's fake. It's not real. Why? School said so. So it's a conspiracy theory? That's right. NBC News, the conspiracy theorists, think that Joe Rogan, the GOP, hotel staff, comedians, all made this up. Perhaps there is a mass formation psychosis where everyone hears it and then just believes it. NBC News. They wrote this in 2022. At a luncheon for Republican women in Mesa County, Colorado last week, Lauren Boebert warned that educators are putting litter boxes in schools for people who identify as cats. To a person not steeped in the culture war battles over gender identity that have engulfed school districts, it's the kind of claim that would sound bizarre and confusing, and from high-profile GOP members, authoritative. So here's what happens. The left does shockingly insane things, deny it's happening, eventually say, who cares, and then they say it's a good thing. It's the pattern we all recognize. I remember, Bill Maher. Remember when Dennis Prager was on Bill Maher and said they're putting tampons in the men's room? And Bill was like, no, they're not. And he's like, yes, they are, because they claim men menstruate. And Bill was like, that's for their girlfriends. What a moron. The funny thing is, when Dennis Prager brought that up on Real Time with Bill Maher, that story had already been up on the corporate press and mainstream news websites for years. Articles saying, yes, men menstruate. It's time we recognize that. Dennis Prager, responding to the news, tries to explain to ignorant liberals who don't read, and they all laugh, like clapping seals, too stupid to read the news. It's embarrassing. Then we get this. Many people pointing this out, having heard these stories or experienced it, and NBC News has said, we called the school. The school said no. So it's a conspiracy then. Everyone's just making it up. They say during a legislative hearing in Tennessee, two Republican lawmakers discussed the growing crisis of public schools providing litter boxes for children who identify as cats, claimed it was happening across the state. Now, why would they claim that? Perhaps because students were telling them this. At least 20 conservative candidates and elected officials have claimed this year that K-12 schools are placing litter boxes on campus or making other accommodations for students who identify as cats, according to an NBC News review of public statements. Every school district that has been named by those 20 politicians said either to NBC News or public statements the claims are untrue. There is no evidence that any school has deployed litter boxes for students to use because they identify as cats. There is evidence. It's called circumstantial witness testimony. It's called students saying it did happen. Now, to say there's no evidence is a lie. But NBC News, they lie all the time. So now I'm not saying it's true and it's proven they're doing this. I'm saying there is certainly evidence suggesting this is happening. They go on to mention the claim takes on a life of its own. In an episode of Spotify's Joe Rogan, a podcast last week, again, this was 2022, Rogan told Tulsi Gabbard that a litter box was installed in a school that his friend's wife worked at for a girl who identifies as an animal. A clip of discussion quickly began to circulate on social media. Rogan did not name the school and his publicist does not respond to a request for comment. Yes, that's also called circumstantial evidence. Now, the question is, to be fair, I take it with a grain of salt. Was Joe talking to a guy who said, my wife said that, you know, at the school she works at, there's a girl who's an animal, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, it's hearsay. Or is it Joe said that he and his friend's wife was talking, like Joe's at a party. His friend is there and his wife joins him. He says, oh, nice to meet you. And she's talking, look, I work at a school and they put a litter box in the bathroom. And he went, what? And then he told, said it on his show. There's a real subculture of people known as furries, a community of children and adults who role play as anthropomorphized animal characters. But the vast majority of them still identify as humans, while sometimes adopting an animal-like persona, engaging in short-term role play, blah, blah, blah. We get it. Well, now we have students protesting. The rise of the litter box rumor shows the power of false claims. And there's the interesting thing. NBC News starts with circumstantial evidence, gets conjecture from the schools, and then says it was a false claim. They didn't talk to every single school. They talked to the schools in this one area pertaining to a couple of politicians. They did not collect evidence or examine the statements from the individuals who made that and ask them, where are you hearing this? When did it happen? Do you have eyewitnesses? They simply said, we called the school. The school denied it. Therefore, it's true. Well, that's strange. There was a student who was raped in Loudoun County, Virginia, a young girl, and the school lied about it and claimed it didn't happen. So you just don't believe anybody. You just choose what you want to believe. Is that okay? Sure. That's how they operate. This is the state of the game, my friends. It all appears to be true. Which brings us to one of the later, more shocking stories. High school student is suspended for using the term illegal alien in class discussion. That's a legal term. He should have said criminal alien. A 16-year-old North Carolina high school student says he was suspended for saying illegal alien while discussing the word meaning in English, possibly ruining his chances at landing a college sports scholarship. Christian McGee, a student at Central Davidson High School in Lexington, received a 3-day suspension last week after he used the term. His mother said his teacher had given him an assignment that used the word that used the word alien, and Christian asked, like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards. Another student reportedly took offense and threatened to fight Christian. So the teacher took the matter to the assistant principal, according to the Carolina Journal. Eventually, his words were deemed to be offensive and disrespectful to Hispanic classmates. Welcome to your brave new world. They'll claim none of it's happening. I didn't make a statement directed towards anyone. I asked a question, Christian told the outlet. I wasn't speaking of Hispanics because everyone from other countries needs green cards. And the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and can find in the dictionary. In fact, it is a codified legal term. The suspension may also affect a student athlete's prospect of securing a college sports scholarship, the journal noted. Because of his question, our son was disciplined and given a three days out of school suspension for racism. He is devastated and concerned that the racism label on his school. You know what? I'm done with this. I'm sorry. Everybody, they spam the chat and they say, Tim doesn't have kids, so he can't speak on this. I can have any opinion I want. A white person can have opinions on black culture and community. An Asian person can have opinions on white people. And people with or without kids can have opinions on child rearing. I remember that Huffington Post story. It was Huffington Post Live. Remember that? I don't think they have that anymore. And this Asian woman was like, you can't say that because you're a white man. He's like, why not? And she's like, because you can't have that opinion because you're white. And he's like, I can have any opinion I want. I can say whatever I want. Bigot. And so what I see here is parents who are sending their children off to institutionalized learning facilities, strangers take their kids and indoctrinate them, and then they're flabbergasted. The crazy thing to me is how they want their kid in this school. And everyone says to me, Tim, I have to work. I can't watch my kids. And so, you know, I got to be honest. We used to live in a world where your kids had to be with you at work. I recognize that not everybody works that way because you can't these days. At Timcast, we tell all of our staff, feel free to bring your kids. Be reasonable, but your children are welcome. If you have kids and you have to come into work, and I actually think your kids need to see you work and learn. They need to be around adults and experience what a work environment is actually like. Instead, these days, kid turns 5 or 6, the parents hand them off to the state and then walk away. But I have to work. I know. It's hard. Homeschooling is hard. No one said life would be easy. But I have to wonder. Handing your child off to the state. Now, look, if you set up pod learning is when a community forms their own homeschooling pod where all the kids in the neighborhood come together, socialize. They're learning from one of the parents. The parents are on rotation. One simple method is that, you know, one parent teaches the kids every day. So if you have 20 kids, then you're going to have, it depends, that could be brothers and sisters and stuff like that. But you're looking at, I don't know what, potentially 20 to 40 parents. Theoretically, there could be two who had 10 kids, I guess, whatever. But my point is, many people have talked about how one parent will say, okay, I take off work today. It's Monday. Monday's my day for teaching the kids. And then they do all the basic lessons. And then they go back to work on Tuesday, and then a different parent. So it's all the parents' friends and community. It takes a village. And pod learning is a way you can keep your children safe from these predators, from these people putting litter boxes in bathrooms. I'm not saying it will be easy. In fact, I'm telling you it'll be one of the hardest things you've ever done. But my question is this. Would you sacrifice everything for your kids? Surprisingly, some parents would not do it. Unsurprisingly, some parents would. I have to wonder, would you condemn your children to being sterilized communists? Is that the future you want to see? 10 years goes by, your 16-year-old son comes in and says he wants to have his testicles removed. And when you say no, the state comes, intervenes, takes your son and sterilizes him. It's wild to me that anyone would buy a lottery ticket that would win them that prize. Sure, they say, look, I'll put my kid in school. They're a good kid. I'll keep him safe. Every day they're there, they're being handed a lottery ticket towards indoctrination. Maybe one day they'll win. My point with the lottery ticket thing is the odds could be astronomical, but why take the chance? Why send your children off to a facility that despises them, treats them like fodder, claims they own them, you know has communist influences, and would run the risk of your child being sterilized in any way, taken by the state, lied to? I've heard many stories from friends where they say like their 10 and 12 year old kids came home and thought they were gay because the teacher says something like, do you like the other boys in the class? And the kid will be like, yeah. And they'll go, wow, well, you're gay then. And that's okay. And the kid goes, really? And they're like, yeah. And it's like, okay. And then the kid will be talking to his mom and be like, I'm gay. And the mom's like, you are? You're 10. It's like, well, my teacher said if I like boys, then I'm gay. It's like, no, that means you want to kiss boys. And the kids will be like, what? No, I just like my friends. Like, yeah, liking your friends and being attracted to them are different things. The teachers are doing this to kids. Do your thing. Do your thing. Maybe your kid one day will decide they want to use a litter box too. And they'll come home and they'll scream and throw a tantrum saying they want a litter box. And when you won't do it, they'll call Child Protective Services. The state will be like, you have to respect their identity. And when you say no, they'll take your kid from you. It's happened. There are parents today fighting to protect their children from being sterilized because the state took them away. But whatever. It's too hard, I guess. Fine. By all means, I'm wrong. I don't have kids. I'm wrong. I'm completely wrong. Then when you go to work and say, bye, son, and send your son off to an institutionalized learning facility run by communists, don't be surprised when in 10 years he says, I hate you, Dad. I don't know you, Dad. I don't care about who you are or what you think. I don't care about your traditions. I don't care about our family. Teacher is my real parent. And teacher says to get sterilized. That's where we're going. And that's what's happening to people. We'll see. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. The trial against Donald Trump in New York City is, of course, a farce, and it's already falling apart. A juror has been dismissed this morning over fears her identity would be made public. In fact, she was informed by friends and family that her identity was made public. And she said, then I can't be fair and balanced. So the judge has excused her. No juror, not a single one, will be fair. And this shows you exactly why. Because any juror who says Trump is not guilty will be found out by the press and Antifa will try and destroy them, damaging property, harassing them. I call it low-scale terrorism because they know if they exceed certain boundaries that it'll become negative press and it could be bad for them. But if you just harass someone just enough, free speech, they say. Take a look at the guy who tried to kill the Kavanaugh family. They call it stochastic terrorism. Aside from this, the prosecutors are now saying, check this out. Prosecutors say Trump has violated the gag order 7 more times. This is already falling apart. Maybe that was Trump's plan, I guess. Here's a story from NBC News. Trump hush money trial judge scolds media after juror dismissed over identification fears. Proceedings in the first criminal trial of a former president are set to get back underway Thursday after a scheduled break Wednesday. Six jurors have been selected so far. Now, seven had been chosen, but of course, the system is breaking. Before we jump into the story, head over to timcast.com. Click join us to become a member of the website. $10 a month. You'll get access to our Discord server to hang out with like-minded individuals, and you can watch the Timcast IRL call-in uncensored show Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. It's on the website, big library, and YouTube has basically told us we're going to be banned. Like, they didn't say it explicitly, but if you saw this the show last night, you get it. So become a member if you want to support our work. Big pushes now to build membership because, you know, if we get banned off YouTube, we'll have to make changes. But, you know, we need revenue. We need to be able to pay our employees and pay the staff that make the show operate. Jury selection resumed in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York City after a break in action Wednesday. With several jurors already having been selected from a pool of 96, the schedule for Thursday will focus largely on questioning potential jurors in a second group of the same size to see whether they can be fair and impartial when it comes to Trump. The judge has said he hopes to have 12 jurors as well as alternates selected by the end of Friday. The proceedings began with one of the seven jurors who had already been selected and sworn in, telling the judge she now had concerns that she could not be impartial. The juror, a nurse, said she had the change of heart after friends, colleagues, and family members asked her if she was a juror on the case. She was dismissed from the jury after telling the judge she did not believe she could let the outside influences not affect me in the courtroom. After she was dismissed, Judge Juan Merchan chided the media for reporting on some of the details of the jurors' appearances and places of work and ordered the press not to report prospective jurors' answers about where they currently work and used to work going forward. We just lost what would have been a good juror for the case because of such reporting, the judge said. Clearly not a woman who said, wow, people might know I acquitted Trump. Nah, I'll make him guilty. Or what's the argument? That her friends and family found out and they were like, say Trump's not guilty. No, the reality is this. Every single one of these jurors is terrified. If anyone finds out they're on this trial, it's going to be a demand. Guilty, no matter what. We don't care if he is or isn't guilty. For democracy, you must be a fascist. The judge had previously ordered the jury to be kept anonymous because of safety concerns and said Thursday. Kind of defeats the purpose of an anonymous jury if people can easily be identified. And there is nothing you can do about it. Welcome to the internet. Prosecutors, meanwhile, said they now had questions about another of the jurors who had been sworn in. The person said in their questionnaire that neither he nor a family member had been accused of a crime, but Joshua Steinglass of the Manhattan DA's office discovered that somebody with the same name had been arrested in the 90s for tearing down political posters and was also involved in a corruption inquiry. The judge said they would question the juror when he returns to court. The DA's office also complained that Trump had been continuing to violate the gag order, barring him from trashing potential jurors and witnesses, with a series of posts on his social media platform, Truth Social. Since you signed the last order that we handed up on Monday, the defendant has violated the order seven more times, Chris Conroy of the DA's office told the judge, adding, it's ridiculous. It has to stop. Trump attorney Emil Bove said some of the posts were responses to accusations by former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, and others were simply reposting items by other people and news outlets, which Bove maintained is not prohibited by the gag order. The judges scheduled a hearing on Tuesday on the DA's motion to hold Trump in contempt, which would see Trump go to jail for 30 days. Following the back and forth with the lawyers, the judge ordered the new pool of 96 potential jurors to be brought into the courtroom. Trump remained seated when he and his lawyers were introduced by the judge. But his attorneys did stand. The former president had his eyes closed, and Merchan described the case to the assembled crowd. Let me pull up this quote and make sure I can get this. Because one of the jurors called Trump the greatest president. Let's see. Do we have this one? Felt intimidated. Let me see if I can find this. I heard this yesterday, or 2 days ago. I don't know if I can pull this up. No, I don't know if this is true. Apparently, there was a report that, let's try this. One of the jurors said they'd love to be a juror. Okay. No, I don't know. but that for the greatest president or something like that. I guess I can't find that. I can't find that. Let's just read more. I had heard that someone called him the greatest president, but couldn't be on the trial or something like that. They say that prosecutors and lawyers for Trump will have less opportunity to dismiss potential jurors going forward because both used 6 of their 10 peremptory challenges Tuesday. While both sides can make an unlimited number of challenges for cause, it is up to the judge to decide whether to grant those challenges and strike those jurors. Mershon dismissed 2 jurors for cause Tuesday, one of whom had posted a lock him up message about Trump on Facebook, but he denied some other challenges. Trump bemoaned the number of challenges he can make Wednesday. Quote, I thought strikes were supposed to be unlimited when we were picking out our jury. I was then told we only had 10, not nearly enough, when we were supposedly given the second worst venue in the country. He wrote on his social media platform, Truth Social, before he blasted the case as election interference. Under New York law, defendants charged with lower level felonies like Trump are entitled to only 10 peremptory strikes. Peremptory, huh? The scheduled day off Wednesday followed some fireworks in the Manhattan courtroom where Mershon chided Trump for appearing to speak to one of the potential jurors who was being questioned about a Facebook post in which she had apparently celebrated Joe Biden's election victory. I won't tolerate that. I will not have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom. I want to make that crystal clear. Eventually, 7 jurors were sworn in. Of course, there was one who went home, immediately was identified as the juror by friends and family, and then said, I can't do this. What do you think the rest of these people are going to do? Now, there is an interesting case here. Politico reports 2 of the Trump jurors are lawyers. Would they acquit on a technicality? This is interesting. Now, certainly ideology plays a huge role. And if they're woke, they don't care what the law says. But if these are run-of-the-mill lawyers, they might actually just be like, he's not guilty. On a technicality. They might be like, there's no underlying crime. They might say, I'm a lawyer. I know what I'm talking about. They may put ego in front of everything else and say, I know better than all of you and what the DA is saying and the judge. I'm a lawyer. Or they could be Trump deranged. As if there weren't enough plot twists in Donald Trump's legal saga, they mentioned 2 lawyers will sit on the jury. That could be good news for Trump, according to some experts on juror behavior, especially if Trump's defense team plans to mount technical legal arguments to try and win an acquittal. They don't need legal arguments. There's no criminal case. The DA said there's some federal underlying crime that doesn't exist and no one knows what it is. I mean, what's the defense going to do? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there's no crime. We don't know what he's being charged with. They claim that he falsified business records. There's no evidence he did. It's a retainer payment. A DA could take literally any filing, call it false, without proof and claim you committed a crime. There is no proof Trump falsified anything. There you go. So what does any of it matter? Lawyers are called for jury duty like anyone else, but they rarely serve as jurors. And it's totally uncommon to see 2 or more lawyers on a single jury, said trial consultant Charlie Morris. But of the 7 jurors so far, there is 1 civil litigator at a large white shoe law firm, and another is a corporate lawyer at a firm focused on startups and venture capital. 5 more jurors plus 6 alternates will be selected. Typically, prosecutors and defense lawyers alike try to keep lawyers off juries, fearing heightened scrutiny from members of their own profession. But in a Manhattan jury pool that is largely seen as unfavorable to the former president, Trump's legal team might see a silver lining. They're not emotional thinkers. The profession requires them to do analysis, and emotional thinkers get more easily swayed by the side that goes first. That tells a good story. There's no question that Manhattan prosecutors will tell a story that captures jurors' attentions. Excuse me. A tale featuring a porn star, a former Playboy bunny, a tabloid publisher, and the most famous person on earth. Trump's defense team may be hoping that lawyers will be more receptive than lay people to a focus on legal arguments and technical issues. I'm sure the team is going to have a story to tell in defense of Donald Trump. But if the story is going to involve a lot of technical issues and possibly legal issues involving the jury and things like that, then you might want someone who is going to take a more highly technical view of the case. I mean, I'd approach it very simply, to be honest. I'd say they have claimed Donald Trump was trying to silence a porn star who was trying to make him look bad. They claim that Michael Cohen paid her off. Trump then reimbursed Michael Cohen and listed the payoff as a legal expense. That's false. This is a felony because he was trying to cover up another crime. Another crime, no one knows. What is it? On that grounds alone, it's an acquittal. If they wanted to bring a misdemeanor charge, perhaps we could argue what their evidence was as to whether Trump lied or not. But whether Trump lied or not is not at question. Certainly, we would argue he didn't. He literally just paid a retainer fee to a now, you know, convicted criminal. And as far as Trump knew, here's a guy who just said, here's my legal bills for the month. And Trump said, sure, whatever. Having no idea what Michael Cohen was doing in the nitty gritty. Many people, especially those on the jury who have lawyers or who may be lawyers, know that the client doesn't go through the nitty gritty of what the lawyer's doing all day. In fact, law firms will bring associates on. You'll call a law firm and say, here's my problem. They'll say, we'll get an associate to handle it because it's hundreds of dollars per hour. They then send you a bill and say, problem's taken care of. We filed it. How are you supposed to know? Any one of you in the jury, any one of these jurors, could pay a bill and DA Bragg could then come up and say you lied about what the bill was for and you could be clueless. I have no idea what you're talking about. Doesn't matter. You'll find yourself having to shell out millions of dollars and spend nearly 2 months in court. Ridiculous. But let's get to the heart of the matter. What is the underlying felony, the underlying crime that advances this case to a felony? There isn't one. So how do we even make an argument? How do you even argue Trump committed a crime when we don't even know what the crime is the state is alleging? Trump falsified business records in furtherance of another crime. That's the felony. What other crime? How could you say he did without telling us what the crime is? How could a defense team put forward a legal defense for something the DA doesn't even know? There's no crime. So it's an acquittal by default. Thank you and have a nice day. Sorry for wasting your time. But of course, it's Manhattan. He'll probably get convicted. So we'll see. It's already falling apart. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you all then. Brianna Wu, prominent progressive, has appeared on the Culture War podcast here, debating many issues in defense of Democrats, is now warning that there is a cancer in their movement and it needs to be stopped. Leftists who are unreasonable and do not allow discussions that could actually benefit their cause. It's not just Brianna Wu who's getting the treatment from the left. It's also Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks, who has been on several occasions now called the next Dave Rubin. But let's break this all down. What exactly is going on with these progressives that are calling this out? I will say, for this tweet from Brianna Wu, Brianna is 100% correct on this entire assessment. But let me break it down for you. Brianna Wu says, yesterday I was screamed at by thousands of people for saying we should talk to moderate Republicans more. You should. Trans women acting like sex criminals is bad. That is also correct. The rapes of October 7th should be condemned. Agreed. That is correct. My mentions have been on fire for months now for lukewarm statements like these. And some people have said I should log off. But I am crystal clear about what I am saying and doing. I'm not angry or upset or acting emotionally. I am making a moral stand. I will always believe in the policies of the left, but there is a cancer in our movement we need to do something about. It is insanity that any of this is controversial, let alone you get death threats and online abuse for saying so. I'm not scared of any of you. You have no power over me whatsoever. Now, I actually believe Anna Kasparian is going to vote for Trump. I don't think Brianna Wu votes for Trump. I think Brianna Wu is trying to stabilize the Democrat base around moderate, liberal, more corporate establishment type views, very pro-Israel and things like that. What I do want to mention about the October 7th rapes is the progressives who are like, they're lies, it never happened. Believe all women, just not if they're Israeli. Sure. While this is going on, there's a lot more to be said. Anna Kasparian, for instance. Citizen Free Press says Anna Kasparian continues her hard turn to the right. Can we please just hire the most qualified people for the job because kids can't even read? Take a look at this. Young Turk star Anna Kasparian admits she'd have done the same thing as Kyle Rittenhouse. And for this now, Anna Kasparian is being called the next Dave Rubin. I think I have something pulled up, actually. Oh, here we go. This is from Reddit. Let me zoom in so we can see it better. Anna Kasparian officially pulls a Rubin and leaves the left. Look, I disagree with Brianna Wu and with Anna Kasparian on many things, but I'm glad to see them becoming, what's the right word? But speaking out and calling out lies and standing up to the left. I love this this video, where the Vanguard. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar. Someone's a comrade says, "Who has time to watch 3 hours of leftist drama?" And then one person points out One guy says some direct quotes from Anna, the original poster. Quote, I'm never working with anyone on the left ever again, from TYT. This is a year ago. I don't fit in on the left anymore. I don't fit in anywhere. I feel uncomfortable hanging out with people who are not part of my race because I feel like I might step in it, she said. She argues Rittenhouse was right and that she would have done the same thing. She used anecdotes to suggest the U.S. is too soft on crime, even though we have 6% of the world's population, but a quarter of its prison population. All the while, the right-wing host is nodding along, and this has been going on for weeks. A member of the TYT staff just quit because they're disgusted by their anti-trans rhetoric. Look, I get it if you don't want to watch a three-hour video, but there's a lot of primary source evidence for this that you could find with any cursory Google search. Anna Kasparian. I don't know that she actually said these quotes. Maybe she did. I know some of them she did. But if she actually said, I don't fit in on the left anymore, I don't fit in anywhere. Well, I think the reality is many, many people like Elon Musk went through this. And I don't know why it took Anna as so long relative to many other people. But I think once you start reading the news, you go, hey, wait a minute. The left is lying. They've gone insane. They don't accept any rational arguments. And so now we are seeing more and more progressives leave the left. Dave Rubin is probably the best example because he had the biggest swing. Dave Rubin was a liberal guy on the Young Turks network. And then he started, I think it was, what was it? Was his interview with Larry Elder, I think, set him on a path towards libertarianism and conservatism. Now Dave is actually a relatively conservative guy. And that's fascinating because he's gay married with kids. That's not a tradition. That's not the kind of person you'd see traditionally aligned with conservatives. But here we are. And there are still many conservatives who are critical of Dave. Dave's not the farthest right you could possibly. He's fairly moderate, to be completely honest. But it's the biggest swing. Many people have left the left, but many of those who did don't say that they've become conservative or anything like that. I believe Dave does say he is. I could be wrong, so forgive me if that's not the case. I know he was like fairly libertarian for a while. Here's a post from Anna Kasparian. Check this one out. She writes, 8 people were killed and 41 injured in shootings over the weekend in Chicago. It's not even a blip on anyone's radar, except the families who lost their loved ones, of course. 3 kids were shot in one of the shootings. A 9-year-old girl died. The other 2 are in critical condition. Is there anywhere in that tweet, in the next post, that Anna said anything right-wing or offensive or racist? No. She points out people died in Chicago from gun violence. Here we go. This guy says, Anna Kay is posting like she's a 2015 racist Republican. She'll be anti-vax by the end of the year and supporting J.K. Rowling's anti-trans crusade by next June. I wonder if I have any more here. Black and Super responded, this is it. I'm done. I'm literally done with the Young Turks. I literally can't tell the difference between her and breaking 911 anymore. What did she say that was right wing? I have no idea. I don't think she said anything. Here's a video. I'm really excited to play this clip for you. Here's right wing Anna Kasparian for you guys.
The New Yorker looked into the fierce culture wars that have been playing out at Amherst Regional Middle School in Massachusetts. And man, has it been a nightmare. So the white nation students are going to private or charter schools. They're focusing on academics. Then you look at this public school and they're riddled with culture war nonsense. Okay.
I think that a lot of people, including myself, to be honest, are starting to get the sense that, wait, is DEI actually to help minorities across the country? Because I'm in favor of that. Or is it to help elite African-Americans and minorities get the jobs they want, right?
Many other progressive school districts, Amherst uses restorative justice practices, which prioritize mediation and reconciliation over punishment, meaning nothing, meaning no action. Okay, don't feed me this BS about like, oh, we did mediation. No, okay, you could take your mediation and shove it up your ass. Stop wasting taxpayer money and playing with these kids' lives by engaging in your cutesy little culture war games. Go do that in your own time. Go do it in your own home. I don't care.
Yo, that was based AF Anna Kasparian.
Mm-hmm. So just be a freaking human being. Treat the freaking students with respect. And can we please just hire the most qualified people to do the job? Because kids can't even freaking read.
And they're like, Tim Pool's far right. You know what, man? I've been on the Young Turks a couple times. I think the problem with the Young Turks and a lot of people is ideological capture. They have no choice because their audience will leave. But over a long enough period of time, you can only move between your reasonable boundaries so far. So if Anna Kasparian is a moderate Democrat to center leftist, meaning like the left of the spectrum, not far left, but, you know, from the center to the far left, you then have that middle point. She can reasonably move from center to moderate left fairly easily. This is what we see. Of course, Anna being further left than I am. Me, however, my reasonable boundaries range from like center left, center right, so a fairly moderate position, leaning slightly to the left on certain issues, probably to the right on other issues, perhaps, but mostly libertarian. I don't even know what issues I might actually lean right on, to be completely honest, because if we're talking about Second Amendment, that's not an economic position, that's a libertarian position. And that, and I don't mean big L libertarian, I mean liberty versus authority. So what I think happens with Anna is that
discussion about like, is the double blind hiring process increasing diversity when the person who's implementing this policy isn't even following it and deciding to hire her friends instead?
I think what happens is as the Young Turks enters this space where Trump is bad and they're watching MSNBC and CNN and all that, they drift in this position until finally they hit the reasonable boundary. Now you've got Kyle Rittenhouse. Now you've got racist hiring practices. Now you've got soft on crime. And now Anna can no longer move in that direction culturally. And so she stops and stands where she's at and then says, what is happening? I can't agree with these people. I think that's what happens to most of us. For me, it was like war was the big issue. So when it comes to, say, you know, voting for Donald Trump or something like that, foreign policy, the domestic stuff matters relatively less to me. So that was easy for me watching Trump's foreign policy in his first term. And I'm like, he's the guy. You vote for Biden, we're going to get way more war. And I didn't believe Trump. You know, it's like Republican, Democrat, I'm done with this. But then Trump actually proved his point over 4 years with better foreign policy. And then I was like, uh-oh, if Biden wins in 2020, then we are going to get mass war, conflict, chaos, et cetera. And we did. The wake up is happening, my friends. It's not just Anna. It's not just Brianna Wu. It's many people who are calling this stuff out. Look at this. This is a video from 10 months ago. A trans Young Turks employee quits and condemns Cenk and Anna for anti-trans rhetoric. Here we go. Because the left doesn't have any core values. They don't adhere to any logical system. It's just a cult of, are you in? That's the question. Are you in? Yes or no? And if you take a logical position and say, I think this is true or this should be, you're far right. The truth has a reality, has a right-wing bias these days, I guess. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you all then.